produced by Caleb Padgett on Finding My Way Radio Channel. Listen live on the internet or by calling toll-free 1-347-850-8560 in the U.S. or for international callers, dial 1-888-201-5313. Toll-free USA, 1-347-850-8560. Toll-free international callers, 1-888-201-5313.
My name is Debbie Keller, and my company is Home and Office Transitions. I provide move management services for individuals and companies. We were looking for a company with high-quality service, integrity, and one that was committed to the same high standards of customer service that we were. And we found all of those in Ewing Moving and Storage.
Hello, hello, hello. We are so happy to be here one more time. This is Teach Me to Love with your host, Pastor Cassandra Elliott, and
this is Bishop Jerome. Hello, everybody.
We are excited to once again be coming to you just with some free-flowing conversation, inspiration, and hopefully a little wisdom about love. Teach Me to Love. And on our last show, we were talking about childhood wounds, scars, and baggage. And we got some feedback from some of you guys, and we want to dig just a little bit deeper into childhood wounds, scars, and baggage. We talked in the beginning when we first came on, we were talking about some of the things that prevent us from loving the way that we should, like unbelief, like hurt, betrayal, mistrust, fear, you know, all of those things. We talked about those a little bit, and some of those fall into the category of our childhood wounds and scars. But tonight we want to dig in a little bit deeper. We want to talk a little bit about the Bible, use a biblical reference to explain a little bit more the effects, and so that we can see an example of what childhood wounds and scars look like, how they translate into our everyday lives.
Cassandra, you know, I'm so glad that we're kind of on this broadcast sharing this, because I mean, so many people are walking around today that I hurt, you know, from childhood scars, things that happened during their childhood that has translated over into adulthood that they're battling with now, that I think we're addressing, that's causing so many issues that are going on in their relationship, their marriages. Don't know how to deal with them, don't know how to bring them out or to be healed from them. And I think it's good too that we had this platform that we can be transparent and open and do the best we can to share with people, you know, a way to or a pathway to get healing and help them in their relationships.
Amen. So I was thinking in my mind, you know, when I received the feedback and we were, you know, going to do a little bit more in depth on some other things than we were going to translate, but really just wanting to stay right here and trying to figure out what is the best biblical example or the easiest biblical example that we can relate when we start talking about childhood scars and wounds and baggage and things like that, that people bring to the table. What is a familiar passage of scripture, or what is a story in the Bible that a lot of people have heard that we can easily translate? Now, a lot of people may not have actually thought about this story in this way, but as I began to study it a little bit more, looking at it from a different angle, as you would say, as I begin to twist the text and ask the text certain questions, then I began to see this text in a different way. And I think it's a perfect example when you go over to the book of Hosea, and you begin even at chapter 1, and you talk about the story of Hosea and his wife Gomer. And so as I began to study this a little bit and study who Gomer was and study about her lineage or her background, I began to see how we could really use this story to talk about childhood wounds, scars, and baggage. So when in my research, I found that Gomer was the daughter of Diblim, her dad. And his name, it speaks to one that has been completely given up to sensuality. And we know what sensuality is. That's of or relating to a sensual or sexual nature. And so as I began to think about it, you know, we know names mean something, especially during biblical times.
Yes.
Their names meant a lot. So here her dad has a name that means that he had been completely given over to sensuality or sexuality or the things of that nature. So I stopped right there, Bishop, because that said to me that this is giving us insight possibly to why Gomer became a woman of sensual pleasure, you know, as she was called in the scriptures, a whore or a prostitute or a harlot. So we get some revelation because maybe she was under a generational curse. What's your...
I think that's good. I mean, because sometimes things are passed on, you know, everything, or when we say scars, I've learned that every scar is not because someone touched you or done something to you. I can recollect in my mind right now, even back as a child, as young as maybe 5 years old, some scars even happened in my own life because of the things I was exposed to at a young age.
Right.
And those things stayed in my heart, locked in my mind, and actually caused some struggles once I became an adult or whatever. And it wasn't because anyone touched me, but it was because what was exposed in my mind. And we have to realize, too, that sometimes the things that are locked in our mind can portray some things or can cause some action or cause some desires like we're talking about right now, not because someone done anything to us, but because what we were exposed to. And so now that we're adults or whatever, now we have got to expose that out of us or whatever so we can actually be healed.
Right. So you have to, because generational curses basically is saying that, you know, because her ancestry had this evil, tainted, sexual, or had completely given himself up, her father had completely given himself up, this was running through her veins.
Yes.
This same blood, this same energy, she was dealing on the level of her exposure. Now, in one sense, you say, do we blame her for that? Because sometimes people can only do what they've been exposed to. And maybe that was all she knew because that was what she saw as she was growing up. And so her, after a period of time, the sensual tendencies of her father became a part of what she was doing, manifested themselves in her life. So then we began to see that, okay, now we already talked about maybe one of her childhood wounds, scars, or maybe some of the baggage from her childhood was a generational curse. Because this is what I saw. This is the nature of my family. This was my father's. You know, in some families, we look at this, and I think we talked about this before. We look at it and we say, you know, my family is full of divorced people. You know, nobody in my family that gets married stays married a long time. You know, my family is plagued by divorce. Or there's certain people, their family is full of incest. People have had incest. Maybe they've been plagued by alcoholism. Father was a drunk. Mother was a drunk. Grandfather was a drunk. Or laziness or lust. It's just things that are passed down from generation to generation. And because I'm living under that, I haven't asked God to free me from that curse. I haven't recognized that I'm setting my ways, or I'm doing things the way that my mother and father did it, or the way that my grandmother, if that's the person that raised me, I'm so set in my ways And then not only that, I'm living because of how they taught me. If mother had a bad relationship with father, he was a cheater. You know, he was always out in the streets. And every time she came home, she was talking to you as her daughter or as her child, even if you're a son. Don't never trust no man. Don't never put all your faith in a man. All men are dogs. All men cheat. Well, then how do you now love a man when you have been heard that all of your life? That is a wound from your childhood. That is baggage that you brought into. So every relationship you go in, that man or that woman is having to fight to overcome your idea of what a relationship is, and the fact that you don't trust them going in. Because just like the law says that you're innocent until proven guilty. So when we come into a relationship, in a sense, until you give me reason not to trust you, you should start with a slate of me having some level of trust. Or why did we even enter into this relationship?
I think that's good, Pastor Cassandra, because again, you know, I think kind of like we had a friend years ago that passed away, and at his celebration of life service, you know, the pastor said, you know what, I'm so glad that he was able to believe God for himself and not to be tainted with religion. And I think, like you say, you know, not just baggage, but sometimes, you know, I understand a relationship is tainted by the issues and problems of somebody else's thinking or what happened to them. So like you just said, going in, we're already not giving that person a fair stake at it or what to make it, or to make it good, or for us to be a great relationship. Because, you know, I saw what mama did. I saw what daddy done. My friends over here, they're bad. So basically everyone that's in my circle has a bad relationship going. So in essence, in my mind, I'm saying, well, you know what? Maybe this is normal.
Right.
Going in, even though it's not normal, but because this is all I've saw, or this is all I've been exposed to, causes me to think this is what a normal relationship should be, when it's not, because again, I have actually not been exposed to what a good relationship is.
That's true.
So
you know, when you look at it, generational curse is not the only thing. So if you want to follow along in the scripture, you can read this in Hosea, beginning at chapter 1. You know, the word of the Lord comes to him and he's talking. And we know that Hosea and Gomer, Hosea is acting this out at God's behest. And he's doing this to pattern the fact that Judah and Israel are not being faithful to God.
Yes.
But when we really get down in the story, if we take out that spiritual element of it and begin to look at this as though it were just a natural relationship, then we begin to see that it's obvious that there's a whole lot of things going on with Gomer. You know, there's generational curse. I'm sure there's some hurt, because if your father or your parents are given over to this sensuality and they've completely given themselves up to that, what do you see growing up? How is your childhood? You know, do you come out of childhood hurt? Do you come out broken? Do you come out with pain? Do you have low self-esteem? Do you come out with no value on marriage? I don't value marriage. I don't think it's something. It's nothing more than a piece of paper. You know, there's no value to that. Do you come out with a lack of intimacy? Or do you learn that that shake what your mama gave you? You know what I'm saying? You know, that we've been taught. You know, there are some young ladies that have been taught that's your moneymaker. That's the way. And not that you just actually go out on the streets, but they're taught that that's a power that you wield over men, and you can use it to get whatever you want to. So are you having difficulty finding love because you've been taught to manipulate men or manipulate women in your relationship? You know, as young men, when I teach my young people, when I'm teaching abstinence, one of the things that I learned and I share with my young people is this: women or girls use love, use sex to get love. And men or boys use love to get sex. So what do I mean by that? What I mean is a woman that is worth her salt and that has good moral values, she doesn't just give herself to any and everybody. She wants that person to love her. She wants to have some value with that person. And so men or young boys are taught, tell her you love her, and then she'll be more willing to give you that part of herself. And so is it because are we finding difficulty being able to love because we have that baggage or that information from our childhood that tells us, oh, just use this and you can get what you want. Manipulate your way into this relationship. Buy her a little bit of things because, you know, we're told all women want gifts. You know, they want money. They want this. And so is the reason that I'm not finding true love because I've learned the art of manipulation?
Well, I mean, some of it could be that. And I want to say to the man perspective of, you know, a great analogy about, you know, teaching young people. And I want to say this on behalf of the men because two points I want to say is this about men. One is the struggle about, you know, because I hear you saying, you know, about, you know, finding love in the man, just like the woman. The man is also looking for love, too. But also his view is kind of tainted for one reason is that, you know, a man that's raised in a home without a father is going to be a struggle.
All right.
Not that a mother can't raise me, because let me make this plain. My dad was around, but my mom raised five boys by herself.
Mm-hmm.
So I know that a woman can raise a man. But I want to say to that, there are some things that a boy needs to hear from a man and not a woman.
Mm-hmm.
That's real talk. The other point I want to make is that some things that are construed about the man, about the confusion of finding love and him going out and, like you said, you find a man, and there's things going on because his perception and understanding about love or coming to a relationship with baggage, because he has learned about love not from another man that knows how to love, but actually he's learned it sitting in the chair in the barbershop.
Mm-hmm.
The barbershop is the black man's country club. And when we were little, we would sneak into the barbershop and we would hear the older men talking about women.
Mm-hmm.
They weren't talking about love. But they were and I don't want to say my age or whatever, but they were talking about things like dirty magazines,
right?
Different things on this nature here. But you didn't really hear them talking about love, how to treat a woman, how to be a husband to her, how to be a father. You just heard all these things, as we say, you know, grown people talk or whatever. But you was also old enough to understand it was nothing on the level about marriage, about how to walk in the door on a woman, how to care for her, how to love her, how to be a husband to her, whatever. So I think, too, some of our problems and baggage that we end up bringing into relationships because, again, things that we were exposed to or the things that we heard in childhood or whatever that we did not have clarity about, or even the ones that we heard it from, they didn't really know, or they had got that from the generation before them. So therefore, like you said a moment ago, you know, the curse continues, or the lack of knowledge about how to be that continue until now, till we at where we are. And even though there may be some things that we don't know, I want to say this to that point right now, that we should stop it right here and just say, you know what, let's wash this slate clean. You know, let's look into it. You know, let's see. It's just like saying, you know, when you go to a room and say, I want this, or this is good, or this is bad. It's no sense in keeping the bad or taking the bad, and the bad can't help you.
Right.
It can't build you or make you stronger or make you better for what you're trying to do. And I want to say, too, let's work to make sure that we're the best, or that we can be competent to it instead of looking for someone else to make us better.
That's good. That's good. I mean, you know, and I think that we just really have to sometimes sit and analyze ourselves and think, what did I see growing up? So when we let's just break this down at this point, and we'll continue to talk somewhat about Gomer and Hosea. But at some point we have to sit down and say to ourselves, if we really want to analyze ourselves and we really want to find out what is going on with us in relationships, why are we not being able to sustain relationships? Why are we having struggles? The first thing we have to do is be totally honest with ourselves. Because it's easy for me, if I was single, you know, being a having degrees and having a respected profession, and you know, being an author and all of the other things that I do, it would be easy for me to say, oh, I can't find a black man to love me or a man to love me because I'm too strong of a woman. I'm too powerful. I'm too educated. I'm too much for them. You know, they don't want to come up to my level. It would be easy for me to say that. And in some aspects that could be true, but it also could be true that, my father, was per se a Rolling Stone. You know what I'm saying? As they used to say when we were growing up, Papa was a Rolling Stone, and which was very, I don't want to say very common in our day, but somewhat common as we were youngsters growing up, where there were many families that mom and dad maybe were together, maybe not, but then you walked across town and you got sisters and brothers who are across town, is a whole nother family. And that was something that, you know, maybe people knew, mama knew, and, you know, they just kind of kept it from you till you got to a certain age. And for some families, that was the case. So do I have to stop and tell myself, okay, part of my problem is not just the fact that I'm educated or I'm powerful and maybe feel like I'm overqualified for a lot of men that I encounter. Maybe the problem is that I have trust issues and I don't give men the opportunity to really get to know me and me get to know them, because I feel that men are not going to be faithful. You'll be telling me everything I need to hear here, but then you'll also be telling some other woman everything she needs to hear over there. So maybe I've not put that no value on marriage and relationships because I didn't see a high value placed on it as I was growing up. Or, you know, maybe I portrayed this powerful persona, but actually I don't love myself the way that I should. Maybe my self-esteem is low. Maybe I judge myself too harshly. When I look in the mirror, I don't like my hair, my eyes, my lips, my thighs. You know, I got all of these things about me that I take issue with. So am I really being honest with myself if I say, you know, I'm just too educated, I'm too strong, I'm too this, when maybe it's some other issues that are going on with me? Because as you listen to the story and you read the story of Gomer, you know, before we knew about her father, chapter 1, verse 2, verse 3 talks about her father, but it also talks about that she is a wife of whoredom and her children are children of whoredoms. You look at it and think about this. Basically, what that scripture says, and I want to read it. Verse 2, Hosea chapter 1, verse 2 says, "The beginning of the word of the Lord by Hosea. And the Lord said unto Hosea, go take unto thee a wife of whoredoms and children of whoredoms, for the land has committed great whoredom departing from the Lord." So basically, to me, what that is saying is that Gomer was a whore, was a prostitute, but also that the children that she had within the relationship with Hosea probably wasn't his. And they probably were as a result of the acts or the behavior that she had of infidelity, you know, betrayal, adultery, and fornication. So I've got this picture of who she is, but when you think about that, she went out there, Hosea goes and he buys her back, and then when she comes home, she's content for just a little while, and then she's right back out there. What is going on in her head? Is she broken? Has she been abused? Is she hurt? Is her self-esteem low? Has she, you know, does she have unforgiveness in her heart toward her father? We got all of this gauntlet of things that really could be going on in her mind and in her heart that she's not saying this. She's not saying this is what is wrong with her. But we can ascertain by her actions that she's got a man that loves her, a man that appears to love her and love her so much that he will go buy her back when she already supposed to belong to him. He has the papers on her as her husband, but he still goes and buys her back to bring her home. So she's got this man that loves her, that his love has not been diminished by her infidelity. His love has not been diminished by her betrayal. His love has not been diminished by her whoredom and all the things that she's doing. He goes and he buys her back. But what makes her think that that's not enough for her? That she has got to go back out here and get right back in that same situation. And that's what we have to look at when we start thinking about childhood wounds, scars, and the baggage that we bring. What is our action saying? What makes us feel that we are not worthy enough to have that real, true love? Because the love that Hosea had for her represented the love that God has for mankind and us as a people. And so when we understand it that way, that love was perfect. It was unfailing. It was not conditional. It was an unconditional love. So what made that love not good enough for her?
Well, Cassandra, let me say this. 2 points I just want to say to it all. For one is that I see a lot of times in this with her and with a lot of people, for one is things that draws us back because we haven't let go and we're blaming ourselves for what happened.
Okay.
And what I mean by that is, you know, hey, I got molested or raped as a child. I'm an adult now, but you know what? That's my fault. You know, I let him done this to me or let her done this to me or whatever. I shouldn't have been going over there or different things or whatever. So I'm holding on to that, blaming myself for what happened, having forgiven myself. A lot of times we know that some people that are battling with chemical dependency, you know, but you know, they're back and forth in and out in the streets, you know, fighting because they say, you know, this wolf is calling me, it's calling me. You know, I know you here, you just came and got me, cleaned me up, took me to the store, spent $500 on clothes or whatever. I'm at home for a couple of days. Next thing you know, I go to work, come back, you're back in the street or whatever. No, you're going back out to that thing because it's like, I hadn't got free of it. I hadn't confessed it. You know, I'm still struggling with it. I'm still battling with it. So I think this out here loves me more than what you do when it doesn't. Mm-hmm. The other point I want to make is that to me, Hosea is a man that, the situation was different, but still it is a person that I feel like God has placed there to love you with all the brokenness, all the hurt, all the pain, everything that you have went through and say that, you know what? I love you unconditional. Mm-hmm. No matter what you done, what you struggling with, what's going on, you in this relationship with baggage, guess what? I love you with your baggage. I love you with your hurt, your pain, your brokenness, whatever happened to you in your childhood or whatever and stuff. But again, just like you were making a point about, you know, I can't. Yeah, you love me like that. And I believe you love me unconditional. But it's just like it's still something that is missing for keeping me from loving you back the same way, you know, from letting go of all that happened. And I think, too, that's a point that we got to get to, too, in a relationship that we got to be willing to let go of what happened. Until we let go of what happened, what's in the future can't come in and help make us better either because we're right. Still holding on to what happened. This happened, like you said earlier when we started this broadcast. You know what? Hey, he cheated on me. She lied to me. You know, you broke me. You hurt me. You stepped on me. You know, you left me for dead. You left me shipwrecked. You ran out and ruined my credit. I won't let that go. But two, you can't build or start all over either until you let go of the past.
True.
at one point, you got to let some things go. And I'm not saying that you can just let everything go, but gradually, systematically, you got to start letting things go, because too, it's just like building a house. You know what? It's good that an old foundation is there, but you know what we're going to do in building? We're going to tear up that old foundation, because you know what? We don't know what the issues are in that foundation. That's why when a house burned down and you see the foundation left, you say, you know what? They can go right back in there and build a house. No, we can't. We don't know what's going on down inside that foundation. If we try to build something new on something older, don't know the trouble, we could have some major problems later. Mm-hmm. So what we want to do, we want to build a whole foundation back, so when we build a house, we won't be dealing with these same problems.
Right. And I think that, our time is up, but I think that I want to say this, is that what we have to learn is we have to learn to let go of the pain while keeping the lesson.
Yes, absolutely. Good point.
And I think that we find that a lot of people find that difficult. You can let go of what hurts you. Just because I let go of the pain of the hurt doesn't mean I lose the lesson of the hurt.
Right.
So, and to use an analogy for that, I cook. I love to cook. That's one thing that I love to do. And I'll cook even if I don't eat. But one of the things that I've learned as being a cook, as a matter of fact, as I was cooking dinner tonight, I kind of burnt my finger. Now, I burned myself on different occasions in different ways, slightly, you know, and sometimes pretty good, but I didn't stop using the stove or I didn't stop cooking because I burned myself. What I've done is I've learned how to maneuver around my stove in a way that being burned is not a frequent occurrence. I've learned that I have to be careful when I'm getting pots and pans and things out of the oven. I need my oven mitt. I need my pot holder. I need my, what we call a dish towel or dish rag. You know, I utilize those things to help me avoid being burned. And so basically what I'm saying is I've given up the pain for the last time I was burned, but I still have the lesson that I learned by being burned, and it keeps me operating in a certain way. And so if you're going to find love, even if you have some childhood baggage, some scars, some things that you have been through, then you got to learn how to keep the lessons, but let go of that pain, let go of that hurt, let go of that blame, let go of that negative self-talk, let go of the things that are keeping you. And so it could be a number of things. It could be, like I said, this generational curse. We see that the hurt, the brokenness, the low self-esteem, the pain, the betrayal. We see all of that in this story. We see Hosea had to experience betrayal or feel betrayed in some of this that was going on. You know, there was some other things that were going on with her. What about the intimacy issue? You know, was there a lack of intimacy between her and her husband? Not that there was a lack of sex, but a lack of intimacy. Oh my God, we talk about that coming up, because sometimes it doesn't take everything in you. There's a difference between having sex and being intimate with each other. And we'll talk about that next time as we dig deeper into this story of Hosea and Gomer, you know, just to kind of give you guys a little bit more insight. We know that this is a free-flowing conversation. And as we talk about this and these things, we often talk about and lead from one thing to another, but we still have that main topic. And in order for us to really love and to really see, we just need to take some time and walk through this. And so please always know that these links are permanent. If you missed a show, or someday you may want to just go and listen to two or three of them back to back, so you've gotten all the information right there together, because our shows are separated for a period of time. And so we kind of forget some of the things that we talked about previously, but we just want to dig deeper next time into this story of Hosea, and Gomer, and just show us how some of the things that happen to us and how some of the ways that we deal with our baggage, our scars, our wounds, not only affect us and how we deal with each other in a relationship, but they affect the entire relationship.
And, you know, Pastor C, in closing, I just like to say, you know, just a point that just hit me from last time I just traveled, to say that, you know, sometimes all, it's not that all baggage is always bad. It's just sometimes some of the baggage is just not needed.
Right.
And I learned that lesson just this last time. I wanted to say, you know what, you know, less was actually better. You know, I could have brought more, but you know what? Because I brought less, I actually traveled better. So the same when a relationship or whatever, you may have some baggage or whatever, and all of it may not actually be bad, but it's all not necessary either.
Amen. So once again, guys, we are so thankful that you have decided to join us. We are excited, as always, to have a chance to sit and share with each other and share with you as well. About Teach Me to Love. Yes, as we go forward, we may dig deep and get into more and more scriptures, but we want this to be a free-flowing conversation. We want it to be able to be relatable to everyone, and we don't want it to be so strenuous that you guys cannot just, it doesn't go down well for you to listen to it. But next time we will continue to talk about the story of Hosea and Gomer. We're talking about childhood baggage, wounds, and scars. We want to dig a little bit deeper into some of the things that may have been going on and how these things affected their family and their relationship as a whole. Amen. So we thank you. I'd like for you guys to keep in touch with us. If you have any questions, concerns, any input or thoughts, you can email us at impactingleadershipradio@gmail.com. Put in the subject, Teach Me to Love. We love to hear your thoughts. We love to have your questions as well. Follow me, if you can, on social media, on all social media platforms, Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at Co-Pastor C1. That's capital C-O-P-A-S-T-O-R-C and the number one.
And you can find me on Twitter and Instagram on Pastor_J.Elliott. That's Pastor_J.Elliott. I'm on Instagram and Twitter.
Amen. And you can also follow the network at Impacting Radio, at Impacting Radio on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. Until we talk again, we wish you guys peace and blessings, and may your life be filled with love.
Produced by Caleb Padgett on Finding My Way Radio Channel. Listen live on the internet or by calling toll-free 1-347-850-8560 in the U.S., or for international callers, dial 1-888-201-5313. Toll free, USA. 1-347-850-8560. Toll free, international callers. 1-888-201-5313.